This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. Starting off tonight, big tech killed Arizona app legislation. Wait to hear what they did. Google, Amazon, back to the office. Their plan has been announced. Airlines are creating a digital passport. And no surprise, people's trust in tech are at an all-time low. I want to welcome you to episode 1518 of the Geekness Central podcast for Thursday, April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the podcast out. Of course, we want you to be engaged, and we want you to get connected with the show. It's a great way. All you really have to do is to get over to GeekNewsCentral.com when you're on the website, subscribe to the podcast, get subscribed to the newsletter, subscribe or follow right there on the right-hand column of the website. Of course, you can always join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord server. That's all available as well directly on the website. And of course, we have our Slack channel if you want to join our Slack channel. And you can do that by contacting me via email, or you can send your comments about today's show at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well at Geek News and follow me on Facebook. All the partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. So that is, that's where you go to find all the magic. The New Media Show, The Gadget Professor, The Podcast Legend Show, which has got just a few episodes, GNC Week in Review by our executive producer, Kirk Corliss. Check those all out, and we are very, very excited when you do that and subscribe to our partner shows. Of course, this show is and has the longest running continued sponsor of podcasts. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. You can save lots of money on GoDaddy products and services by using my promo codes. Got the new offerings up. Guess what they are? 30% off on new product purchases, $499.com or new or transfer domains, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, and $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Of course, a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans on a 1 month free trial. And they really, this is the way to go. Go over here and pick up a product or service. If you're getting ready to start a blog, start a podcast, you know, this is all an easy way to get up and get running, is to basically go over there and get yourself a website and get a free domain. $12 gets you going. You really cannot beat that price. So we do want to thank all of you that have supported the sponsor last month, and of course, those of you that will this month. And again, it's April, so we'll see where the numbers come in, but the march towards promoting GoDaddy continues, and we want you to get involved and pick up one of the product services to help support the show. The expenses never go down. It always stays just about the same here, so got to pay the electricity, the rent, got to pay the insurance. Insurance is ridiculous. And of course, take care of our writers that write at geeknewscentral.com. That's one of the reasons why we want you to visit often and comment often as well on the website too, on articles that the great team has put together. As a reminder, again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So what is going on? Well, before I get into that, studio, it's all been designed by the folks at Audimute.com, AUDIMUTE.com. Ask for Kevin. He'll make you a deal on sound conditioning for your office, for your home office, for your showroom, for wherever you need some sound conditioning, and it can be styled any way that you want. And it's really an incredible product over at Audimute.com. And we want to thank them for partnering with us and of course, the studio design here by them and their team. So Monday, I was suffering. My back was, I every once in a while, I get into a mode where I feel it coming. I work on getting pain relief, doing everything that I can. But man, when it hits, it's just there. And I probably spent Oh, man. Right up until today, really standing most of the day because I just couldn't sit down. So Monday, it was just unbearable. And no amount of Tylenol was making it go away. So I took my butt home and stayed home. And I just couldn't get comfortable there either. It was just pretty ugly. And on top of that, we've had some internet issues again here in the studio. And sadly, I have had, I think it's the router. So I'm replacing the router. The one that I have has a warranty. So I'm working with Netgear to send it back. I have a 2-year warranty on that. But it's just weird. The bandwidth is good, 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 good. Then it drops like a rock. And then up, up, up. And it sucks. I've been on the phone with Spectrum. They're sending a tech here on Monday, and if they don't determine issue, then I got to pay $149 for the service call. But it's intermittent, so I really don't know what to do. So I did order a replacement router. The one I picked is definitely designed for streaming, so hopefully that's going to fix it. Now, not only that, we've been having huge issues with audio with Rob on the New Media Show. It's everything's been tweaked here. Check the audio on the recordings, check the audio on the stream. We did find one setting last week that was potentially causing an issue, got that all changed. So, and then we've been introducing audio from Clubhouse, and the Clubhouse audio just sometimes flat out sucks. So I'm a little frustrated in that regard, and we got to get the audio back on track for the New Media Show. So hopefully that occurs this weekend. But I got a list of stuff that a couple things I need to do over the weekend. You know, it was nice here yesterday, 60 degrees, walked out of the house this morning, it was snowing. So, you know, if you don't like the weather, just wait 15 minutes here in the state of Michigan. So anyway, that's what's been going on. And again, I would have just been a grumpy dude on Monday. So I just told Kirk, you know, no show prep. I'm canceling. I told him early enough. And I just wrapped it up and went home and tried to mend my sore back. So anyway, that's what's been going on here. And I hope you're well and doing good. And let's get into the stack. Got a good stack of stuff here. So we talked about this on the last show, which sadly was a week ago today. But an Arizona lawmaker said that big tech hired every lobbyist in the state of Arizona to help kill the App Store bill. Those lobbyists were so effective, there wasn't enough support after the lobbying blitz. Who did that? Who paid for the lobbying blitz? Google. Google rolled out big checks and put pressure and I'm sure donated money, and this thing never got out of committee. So this is a win for Google and Apple. We know that the bill targeted Apple and Google without naming them, and this is just one fight in a global fight over Apple's and Google's control over their mobile platforms. We know that companies like Epic Games and Spotify have complained that Apple not only takes a 30% cut of all App Store revenue, but also bans app makers from using alternative payment platforms within iOS apps to avoid that 30% cut. So the Arizona bill would have required owners of major general purpose app platforms, which includes Google and Apple, but excludes special purpose devices like gaming consoles or music players, to allow the use of third-party payment services on their platform. Again, struck down. And the House had passed this in a 31-29 vote. Of the 31 A votes, 27. Now listen to this so that you understand. The bill passed the House in Arizona with a thin 31-29 vote. Of the 31 A votes, 27 came from Republicans. Democrats accounted for 25 of the 29 no votes, and they didn't get out of the Arizona Senate committee. So why is that? why is there a culture war now between conservatives and liberals when it comes to apps? You would think this is, would be across party lines and wanting to lessen the control of these platform developers, but that is not what happened in Arizona. Was it the money? Money, 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 money. I'm thinking, potentially. Well, you know, everyone's getting their shots here in Michigan. They are giving the vaccine to 18 plus. Still almost impossible to get an appointment. So I'm sure it will be many months before everyone is able to get a vaccine that wants one. But Google is reworking its remote working as it reopens offices. The tech firm will only allow employees to work from home for more. Listen to this. The tech firm will only allow employees to work from home for more than 14 days a year if they apply for it. Google will continue its current work from home arrangements until 1 September, but will allow people to return voluntarily next month. In other words, come to work. The tech giant was one of the first companies to offer working from home. It's now been a year since many of the folks had been working from home, and the thought of returning to the office might inspire different emotions. But Google is currently preparing for a broad reopening in September, when employees will be expected to be in the office for at least 3 days a week. Until then, the initial period will be voluntary as offices slowly reopen with limited capacity based on vaccine availability and the downward trend. When staff are required to officially return in September, they won't look exactly the way you remember them, but will include meals, snacks, and amenities where possible. So give opportunity for Google to cut some of their benefits. Company is advising workers to get vaccinated, but it's not making it mandatory for them to work in the workplace. And Google's taken a different approach from its rivals. Twitter said it will allow most of its employees to work from home permanently. A number of big companies that plan to test so-called hybrid work arrangements where employees split their time between home and office. So we'll see. This is what Google has decided. At the same time, Amazon is going to bring back employees' offices over the summer. Most will be back in the office by fall, the company tells workers in a memo. In an internal memo, they gave its employees a sense of when they'll be returning to the office. As previously reported, as vaccines become more widely available, the company will bring back people through the summer, with most back by early fall. Of course, the e-commerce giant's warehouse workers have been working throughout, which had allowed them to have a record profit in 2020. So it's a little different approach taken by Facebook and Google, but many of Amazon employees in Asia have already returned to their offices, but acknowledges that getting your European workers might take longer due to recent setbacks. So, isn't that interesting? The employees in Asia are already back in the office. It makes you go, doesn't it? So what's happening with you, where you work? What has your employer said? When are you going to be required to come back to the office if you have been out of the office? I'd love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Over on CNET, they're saying people's trust in tech is at an all-time low. And a new study. So what's going on here? Trust in the technology sector is rapidly declining around the world, according to the 2021 Edelman Trust Barometer. In fact, levels hit an all-time low in 17 of 27 countries surveyed, including China, the United States, and Australia. In the U.S., they saw the biggest decline in trust compared to other sectors like fashion, entertainment, and retail. While tech was the most trusted sector in the U.S. in 2020, it fell to ninth place in 2021. Separately, among 11 countries that Edelman surveyed in its 2020 trust barometer, which was more COVID-focused, all but one, Saudi Arabia, saw a drop in trust in tech during the pandemic from May to January. Further, In 2016, tech was the most trusted sector in 20 out of 22 countries. But this year, it was only number one in 7 countries: Italy, Argentina, Mexico, Brazil, South Korea, Indonesia, and India. So people are skeptical about what's happening in tech. So this should come as no surprise with everything with the division, with politics, with Facebook. But I will tell you, the Canadians are having a great time making fun of us here in America. They are having a ball. I'm seeing all kinds of skits, comedies about people that are being over freaking out still. People are, you know, of all the people that are going after people not wearing masks, people just, you know, flipping out. The Canadians are having a good time with some of those clips that have made it on a variety of social networks like TikTok and so forth. They're having a great time scoffing at us over here. But I don't know. I think the whole world has got some of this going on. This next article has me just a little bit. I was actually texting my son today to find out when graduation would be in Hawaii. He told me the date. He says, we're going to be at Aloha Stadium. There's about 400 kids in this class. Aloha Stadium will sit 30,000 people, but no parents or anyone can come inside. They get to go graduate, but family cannot be there, not even mothers and fathers. So they're going to walk across the stage, get their diploma alone without family being there. We are already, what are they thinking? They're going to be in a big stadium. They're going to have lots of social distancing. So, and I'm sure this is happening in high schools across America again this year, but it just shocks me that they're going to have their graduation at a stadium, but no parents or anyone can come inside. It's really, truly, absolutely, unequivocally criminal what they have done here. And I think that, you know, during this whole pandemic, the biggest losers in this, and I say this sadly, I'm not saying loser, but the biggest losers in this has been these kids going to school and all this remote learning. Now, the moms and dads at homeschool, you know, this is operation normal for you folks, but this is one of those moments that you have, right? When you're growing up. You get to the point where you're going to get your high school diploma. It's a transition, right? It's a transition from being in high school, having your education done, and then making life choices, depending if you're going to go to work, going to go into trades, you're going to go to college, going to go on sabbatical, you're going to go, you know, whatever your plans may be, play League of Legends or whatever. It's this transition point, and typically, and you know, we talked about it last year, parents are, you know, do not get to celebrate with their kids for, you know, this monumental event. And to think that, I understand if it's going to be at a high school stadium and there's really no way to social distance, you know, the 800 parents that would attend. For those 400 students. But if you have 23,000 seats, how can you not spread 800 people out so they can go watch their kid walk? It's beyond ridiculous. It really, really is. So got to decide what I'm going to do. I guess we'll have to figure something out and do it very, very quickly because just about 6 or 7 weeks away here. But anyway, going back to the tech article, the airline industry will release a COVID-19 passport for your iPhone next month. Barbados will accept the pass on flights from London starting on April 16th. So after successfully trialing it on an international flight between Singapore and London this month, the IATA says it released the Travel Pass app in mid-April. The software app allows airline travelers to store verified COVID-19 test results and vaccination certificates on their phones. The trade association told Reuters it expects to make the app available to download on the iPhone around April 15th. Virgin Atlantic plans to pilot the digital pass on its London to Barbados route. The Caribbean island will accept the app at its border, making it one of the first countries to emit a digital pass instead of paper documentation. And storing vaccine certificate and results of COVID-19 tests, you can use the software to create a digital version of your actual passport. It also includes a database of local travel restrictions, so you can easily find out what you need to do to fly. This is not going away anytime soon. We have to get back to life. We really do. We have to get back. And this state, my state still has got stuff locked down. So, and you look at what's going on in Hawaii. I need a COVID test to go to Hawaii again. So, which are hard to get here. And in a fast, you can get them, but you can't get a fast turnaround. So anyway, plan for that. Google says it's like, I already covered this. I don't need to cover this again. Let me close that article. Of course, Facebook has banned President Trump again after he borrowed his daughter's in-law page. The social network reportedly deleted an interview with the former president. So she had an interview with him, by her of him, posted it on her Facebook page. And you see, they say, you do this again, we're going to ban your account. They're pretty stout, aren't they? In their opinions. And of course, this gets high level attention, but a lot of people have been banned from Facebook. Apple has decided they're going to recalibrate iPhone 11 batteries to fix performance and capacity issues. The process will happen when the user upgrades to iOS 14.5. So what it says is your battery health reporting system is recalibrating maximum capacity and peak performance capability. This process may take a few weeks. So they're trying to fix battery drain and reduce performance issues that affected some iPhone 11 devices. The process will all happen when you do this update. It's going to happen to iPhone 11, 11 Pro, 11 Pro Max. It might take a few weeks. So the process is currently being tested. But given that Apple has a support page already up for it, there's a good chance of making the final release. So we'll see what they do here with this and how this will affect those of you with those phones. I think my son's got a 10. I gave him my 10. Or what is the latest one right now? I can't even keep track of numbers. Maybe he does have my old 11. So maybe get a little more battery out of it. Google ditches Mobile World Congress 2021, the world's biggest phone show. So, you know, some of the events that I was going to attend have already been canceled or pushed back. I think the first event I've got scheduled is in August, which will be here right around the corner. But Google said, following COVID-19 travel restrictions protocols, Google has made the decision not to exhibit at the Mobile World Congress this year. We will continue to collaborate closely with GSMA and support our partners through vital opportunities. We look forward to this year's activities and see you in Barcelona in 2022. So what they're going to do is, matter of fact, there was a big concert that just happened in Europe. And what they did was rapid testing. Everyone that was going to the concert had to got a rapid test before they entered. It was like 8,000 people that had to take a rapid test to go into a concert. How, you know, this has got to be a serious, serious moneymaker. There's got to be cash overflowing for this type of level of testing and everything that's going on. They're not going to let go of this lightly. you know, how many times a year are you going to have a swab stuck up your nose to go into a vent? Are you going to have to be swabbed to go into a restaurant soon? It's really pretty remarkable if you think about where we are. And technically, once you get the vaccine, right, you should not be worried. You can get it and not have as many effects. Isn't that the purpose? You know, yeah, there's some variants out there, of course. But those that choose not to get vaccinated and those that do, you know, it's not like, can I see your vaccine, please? You know, in some countries, they've had really, really bad issues with vaccines. As few as like 4 or 5 years ago. Massive numbers of people died, paralyzed, you know, from some vaccines that were done in Asia. So people in Asia are very leery of some vaccines. In some third world countries, people, they're saying as high as 80 and 90% of the people are saying, no, we're not going to get a vaccine. So, and I bet you in America, it's about 50-50. Because I talk to people, and are you getting a vaccine? Nope. Are you getting a vaccine? Yep, already got it. So I'm sure it's going to be the whole world like this. You know, people are not, there are people who said, no, they're not going to do it. And, you know, I don't care what your opinion is on this, but some people are actually now saying, hey, let's go get the Chinese one, because some people are saying that, and again, I'm not a doctor. But I'm hearing now people would rather get the Chinese vaccine because they say it's a real vaccine. It's not some RNA thing or whatever it is. So time will tell where this goes. I don't think I would take a Chinese vaccine. Matter of fact, I know I wouldn't. Be my luck, they would drug me and poison me and I'd be laying there dead 15 minutes later. Amazon Alexa. Oh, sorry, I just triggered your devices. I give it a second here. Let you control a Lamborghini's air conditioning with just your voice. So you just have to ask questions remotely. You know, you can remotely control your home stuff now. So now you can do this right in. If you have a Lambo, if you can afford a Lamborghini, what is that, 20 people or something in the whole? Again, I don't know how many people buy Lamborghinis. I'm sure it's more than that. But yep. You can control the air conditioner. Wouldn't it just be easier to go over there and go click, click, click and change the temperature in your car? I think that would be much, much easier. Microsoft's, and I'll try to spell this, C-O-R-T-A-N-A, Cortana, meets an untimely end on the iOS and Android. This is only the latest development in a series of cuts. Microsoft's Cortana app for iOS and Android will soon shut down. The company has announced on a support page this effectively puts a nail in Cortana's coffin for consumer use cases. Microsoft just never. Mobile phones. Oh, my God. See, I got a Cortana device in the other room. It's hearing me over here talking about this. Yeah, they're gonna cancel you, device. But this essentially is going to, you know, Microsoft's out of the game. So who does that leave? That leaves Google and that leaves Amazon for the two big players. And maybe, you know, my iOS device, I guess, too. You can consider them. But, you know, Android device is much, 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 much smarter. Google's got the voice commands down as compared to the iOS. S-I-R-I sucks. Verizon will pay you up to $1,000 for your old broken phones. Well, if you're a Verizon customer, this might be the deal. Whenever you trade in a phone, the value of it depends on how old it is and its condition. But according to Verizon, beginning tomorrow or today, and this is not April Fool, and for the first time ever, for new and existing customers, trade in your cracked or water-damaged phone and get up to $1,000 off our best 5G phones with a port-in and select unlimited plans. That means cracked, broken, and even phones that no longer turn on can help to make your next device more affordable. The carrier notes that the announcement falls very close to April Fool's, but they do state this is not a joke, and it's an actual offer that customers can take them up on. So that's interesting. Grab a couple of old phones, take them in, and, you know, you hand down the ones that are still good. This sounds like a great deal. If it really, truly is what it is, let's say you have an old, I've got a couple broken phones laying around. Go in with a broken phone, get $1,000 credit, almost virtually get a phone for free, and get some, I'm sure there's some lock-in plan for a year or two, but you're going to do that anyway. And then you take the other phone, it's still good, and give that to your kid. Sounds to me like a deal. If this is a true deal, this is, if you have a Verizon phone, this may be the time to get on over to Verizon and see what this is all about if they let you in the store. Microsoft has won a $21.9 billion contract to supply AR headsets to the U.S. Army. So these augmented reality headsets suitable for battlefield conditions, the Integrated Visual Augmentation System, IVAS, will be derived from Microsoft HoloLens technology and augmented by a backend built on Microsoft Azure. The deal builds on a previous $480 million agreement between Microsoft and the Army, and the $21.9 billion figure represents a best-case result if Microsoft delivers all its relevant objectives and the Army decides to renew. The IVAS program will be reviewed 5 years from now to determine whether to continue the project. So this is interesting. I'm not familiar with IVAS, but the contract is only for 120,000 headsets over a decade. So do the math on that. 21.9 billion divided by 120,000. And of course, all the associated software and everything like that. The prototype hardware looked fragile, whereas the helmet-mounted system appears far more robust, meaning probably all mil-spec conditions, cold, wet, shake, vibe, you name it. But very, very cool. Congratulations, Microsoft, on that win. So unspecified damages, Amazon. Let me read this. Let me very carefully. A small independent bookstore filed a class action lawsuit against Amazon last week, alleging that the e-commerce giant colluded with the five major book publishers to fix wholesale prices and block other sellers from competing on price or product availability. The suit seeks to compensate independent booksellers for Amazon and publishers' practices and put an injunction on the alleged anti-competitive price practices. The name plaintiffs is Bookends and Beginnings, a physical and online bookstore located in Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago. Amazon, which got to start selling books way back when I wrote my book, has dominated the retail book market. I haven't bought a book anywhere but Amazon for probably 15 years. So, of course, these independent bookstores were hurt badly. But the independent bookstores were selling books at $37, $45. The last time I went into a bookstore, I was shocked at the price of a book. It wasn't $13. It was $23, $24 for hardbound. I like buying hardbound books. Don't get me, I've got a cabinet full of them over here. And some books you just want to get, some biographies and stuff like that. Those are books you just want to have. I read them digitally, and leave the hardbounds alone. But so we'll see where this case goes. The Fed said that a man that broke into the public water system is shut down for safety processes. Well, they've indicted a Kansas man for allegedly logging into a computer system at a public water system and tampering with the process for cleaning and disinfecting the drinking water. And apparently this guy was an employee. Wyatt A. Travanek, 22, of Ellsworth County, Kansas, was an employee from January 18 to January 2019 at the Ellsworth County Rural Water District Number 1. And he apparently, allegedly, what he's been charged with, was logged in and did that change on those chemicals that we talked about some time ago. And so here's the thing about this. That's an utter failure on that business to not change default passwords. It really is. It's crazy. So if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Google Play limiting Android 11 plus apps from seeing what's installed on devices this May. Now, Google today announced a series of policy updates for apps distributed through the Play Store. The most impactful sees Google limit most developers from seeing which other Android apps are installed. As part of its ongoing work to restrict the use of high-risk sensitive permissions, Google is limiting what apps can use the query all packages permission that gives visibility in the inventory of installed apps on a given device. This applies to apps that target API 330 plus on devices running Android 11 and newer. Enforcement was originally meant to occur earlier but delayed in light of COVID-19. Applications that can continue to use the permission include device search, antivirus, file managers, and browsers. Developers are asked to efficiently justify why a less intrusive mess of app visibility will not sufficiently enable your app policy complaint. So temporary exemptions will be granted to banking and digital wallet apps. So this is big. Use of the permission is not directly related to the core purpose of the app. This includes peer-to-peer sharing. Peer-to-peer must be the core purpose of the app in order to qualify as a permitted use. So apps won't be able to look at other apps and tap that data. AT&T adds 5G to its public safety network. It's also bringing an extra level of encryption to make communication more secure. Established in the wake of 9/11, AT&T's FirstNet public safety network was designed to be the foundation for mission-critical communications for first responders. In the past year, that goal has been put to test as emergency service reacted to wildfires, hurricanes, and a raging virus. According to recent reports on FirstNet, the first responders consume more than double the mobile data of the average consumer during the pandemic. To meet their growing connectivity needs, they've added 5G. And they're determining which way to best route traffic and so forth and so on. So anybody first responder on the show that has access and sees this FirstNet, love to hear your feedback on this. In an interesting ruling today, the Supreme Court has ruled Facebook's automated text system does not count as robocalling, handling a major win to people who want to spam your phone. Now, the court ruled that Facebook's text alerts on suspicious logins do not qualify as robocalls. I move from my home to my office, I get a warning sometimes. So they ruled in favor. They said in the ruling that Facebook text alerts about suspicious login attempts do not attempt as robocalls deemed illegal under the act. The ruling also shut down a proposed class action lawsuits. Experts have previously warned that a ruling in favor of Facebook could be a major win for telemarketers as billions of robocalls and robotexts already hit American cell phones every month. Well, that it's not going to change any of that. So this has been in the court system for a couple of years. So a big win by Facebook there. Do you have a dish? What is the do you have a Boost phone? Dish Network has blasted T-Mobile for plans that shut down its network's Dish customers still use. So apparently some of you can get a mobile phone through Boost by something, some alliance with Dish. Okay. T-Mobile's purchase of Sprint was only allowed after it agreed to sell a chunk of assets to Dish, including its Boost prepaid business. Plus, Dish is highly reliant on T-Mobile for network service as it builds out its own 5G network. And basically, T-Mobile said, hey, we're shutting down our CDMA network, which was a big byproduct of Sprint for many years, and which is still used by a majority of Dish's 9 million Boost mobile customers. Dish had expected T-Mobile would eventually look to shut down that network in 3 to 5 years, but Sprint said late last year that it would look to shut it down in January 1 of 2022, and Dish has basically went to the FCC and said, hey, we can't move 9 million mobile users. And that's, you know, a little bit of a play there by T-Mobile. And T-Mobile has been having major issues in this town. I don't know what's going on. 1 minute there's a signal, next minute they've had major issues here in the, over the past week. FCC acting commissioner proposes dedicated spectrum for private space launches, a regulatory framework. Are supposedly dated. The measure would allow a secondary allocation of the 2200 to 2290 megahertz band to be allowed to be used by private space travel and satellite companies during the pre-launch testing and launch phases. They can still use that band right now, but they have to apply through a special temporary authority. Now, I have been involved. This is going back to my Navy time. I didn't have to fill the paperwork out, thank God. But I have had, how should we say it, testing delayed because we did not get our STA approved. And the STA paperwork is like a book that goes to a whole bunch of agencies, and you say, you're going to use this frequency for this purpose during this time for this purpose, and here's your justification for using that frequency band. And it's the whole spectrum. From dark to daylight, it's the whole spectrum. And these STAs are very difficult, very painful, very expensive. And if you think of somebody like SpaceX, they have to do an STA for every launch because they need telemetry. They need all this, they need to have communicate with the launch platforms. So that means that, like last year, United States companies sent 39 rockets into orbit. That means 39 STAs. I've only ever been involved in one, and it took months. Months. And this is in cooperation with other countries, too. Other countries have their own. If you're doing something up close to the Canadian border, well, you got to get a permission from the Canadians and the Americans. So I could see where this would be good. We're giving them access to a specific spectrum that they can license easily and use on a, you know, on a regular basis. So here's how much the average iPhone user spent in 2020. You spent an average of $138 on apps in 2020, and it'll grow to $180 in 2021. Huh. That's amazing. Throughout 2020, consumers turned to iPhone apps for work, school, entertainment, shopping. And consumer spend is going to continue to grow. So just on apps alone, you spent $138 last year on average. If the average is $138, holy cow, there's some of you out there spending a lot of money each month. So mostly games and stuff and little add-ons and stuff that you buy when you play or try to get an ad-free experience. So yeah, that's a whopper. $138 on apps in 2020, $180 in 2021. No wonder we're all still broke. They're figuring out, you know, even though we have more choices, they're figuring out how to nickel and dime us to death. That's for sure. YouTube is relaxing some rules about ads on drug-related videos. It's expanding monetization on drug-related content. So it's expanding monetization on educational, documentary, or news content that may include violent interactions, law enforcement, recreational drugs, and drug-related content or sensitive events. So does that mean all the marijuana videos are now going to be able to be monetized? Sounds like it. I'm sure there's a lot of pharmacies and people that are selling CBDs and selling everything else that is made available in the marijuana recreation market or medical. This now covers videos focusing on the purchase, fabrication, or distribution of drugs, such as the fabrication of homemade opioids? And news reports about cannabis farms that do not glorify drug use. Huh. There are a couple of bullet points have disappeared entirely from YouTube's list of videos where ads have to be turned off altogether. Those videos are focused on drug consumption, including its effects, without an educational or documentary context, or which contains promotion of regulated legal drugs or substances that can induce a high, cannabis and derivatives, THC and CBD. Interesting. There's a lot of YouTube videos about weed. A lot. Comcast may pull Universal movies from Netflix to boost its Peacock offering. It's also debating a hybrid model. Let's it share films with another service. So the dilemma is part of a larger seismic change Hollywood is reluctantly undergoing amid shuttered movie houses and fierce competition, including new entrants such as Apple, Disney, which previously pulled its movies from Netflix and has shuttled its theatrical movies, including Pixar Soul. I did get to see, did I tell you about this in the last show? Yeah, I got April 9th. Can I watch out for Voyager? Yes, this is going to be a very good movie. You're going to enjoy it. I did. Got to see the screening of it. Apple begins showing Russian iPhone owners state-approved apps during setup. Oh, great, comrade. The recommended software includes domestic search engines and email clients. Despite its tussle over civil liberties at home, Apple's had to cave to government orders from autocratic states overseas. Last month, it agreed to show Russian users a prompt to pre-install select apps when activating an iPhone or other device ahead of implementation of a new law. The government section lists of services include homegrown apps such as Mail.ru, the Mir payment system, social network VKontakte, and Oldenlesky's and Kaspersky's Lab antivirus. With the law now in effect, Russians have taken to social media to show what the regulation actually entails. As part of the iOS setup process, they're being shown these additional steps, and there's plenty of videos about that. And I wonder if you can say no. Can you opt out? Is that allowed? In China, it's not. China, they get it pre-installed because the Chinese government wants to track everybody. Casio unveils the first ever G-Shock smartwatch with Wear OS. So that's something that's new. Due to smartwatches typically sporting a full touchscreen display, this means a lot of smartwatches have no choice but to come with different form factors. For more traditional watches, something that some people might lament, there's a lot of people that are big fans of the G-Shock. And so it looks like a G-Shock, wears like a G-Shock, but it's not, screen is not a G-Shock. So I wore G-Shock for a long time. And then the Apple Watch came. Facebook, Google are planning a new undersea cable to connect Southeast Asia and America. So they want to connect Singapore, Indonesia, and North America in a project which Google and regional telecommunication companies to boost internet connectivity capacity between the regions. Named Echo and Biofrost, those will be the first two cables to go through a new diverse route crossing the Java Sea. And they will, what is the Java Sea? I don't even have to Google that. And they will increase overall subsea capacity in the Trans-Pacific by about 70%. They didn't talk about how much they invested. The cables, according to executives, will be the first two to directly connect North America to some parts of Indonesia and will increase connectivity for the central and eastern provinces of the world's fourth most populous country. So, Indonesia has a population of 270 million, and they're all online. The majority access the web through mobile data, with less than 10% using a broadband connection. I think it's the same way in Thailand, in the Philippines, and other places like that that don't have good infrastructure. It's all wireless. So, all right, very, very cool. Finally up today, Boston Dynamics unveils Stretch, a new robot designed to move boxes in the warehouse. Stretch can lift up to 800 boxes an hour, which is, I guess, comparable to a human. Can you move 800 boxes an hour? That's a lot of boxes to move in an hour. 800? A human can move 800 boxes in an hour? It looks relatively dull for a Boston Dynamic creation. It's not modeled after humans or animals. Instead, aims to be as practical as possible. It has a square mobile base containing a set of wheels, a perception mask with camera, another sensors, and a huge robotic arm with 7 degrees of freedom and a suction pad to grab the boxes up to 50 pounds in weight. Focuses on mobility. And looks pretty cool. So it's got a series of suction pads. So if the tape isn't covering everything, it doesn't drop the box. So very, 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 very cool. I don't think I had any email come in. I think we're dry. And let me go over here and look. My email has not been dry. My God, I'm getting a lot of email right now. So there's the right account. Let me go over here and look. So, Sam has sent me some album art for the new Insider program, which is still coming. So thank you, Sam, for that. Looks very, very cool. So we'll have some album art for the new GNC Insider. And also, I don't know if I got this one or not. Michael said, hey, Ty, I got the news below, and I see the link is on your website, but in Overcast, the feed only shows 3.8 of 15. So yeah, there was a we knew there was a bug, so I think that was responded to or got fixed. But anyway, no news on Starlink. I'm hoping it will come soon. And we'll keep our fingers crossed here. But internet at the house has been horrible, 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 horrible. But anyway, I think we're good. Anyway, I want to thank you all for coming today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you've been online, definitely appreciate it. If you didn't check in, hi, Toby. I just saw your note. Thanks for checking in. But other than that, I'm going to get out of here. And again, it was a really rough Monday. And I'm about 80% back. But last night, I just stood under a scalding shower for like 45 minutes. I think that helped loosen things up a little bit. But anyway. See you back here on Monday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. It's my pleasure to bring you the show. Again, thank you for following and subscribing to the podcast. It is greatly appreciated. And thank you for your ongoing support of the sponsors and all of you that have added your subscription to being an insider. Definitely appreciate that as well. And the insider program is coming. All right, everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.